time. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter number 5 and remain standing, if you will, as we get ready to read the Word of God. Romans chapter number 5. Amen. All right. I appreciate the songs that we've sung this morning already. And that one's an old song, but I like Isaac Watts' songs. Amen. And we ought to sing about our love for the Lord Jesus. He's worthy. I talked about that already. Worthy of our praise. Amen. And we ought to sing about our love for Him. Amen. I'm going to start reading verse number 12, Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. And we've already covered verses 12, 13, and 14. Now today we're going to pick up with verse 15 and read on to the end of the chapter. This whole section goes together. I'm not going to cover it all again. I'm not going to finish it up today. But we did three verses last time. We'll try to do three this time and then save us four for the next week or next time we preach on this together, Lord willing. I'm amazed, though, when I don't know that I know of anybody that I knew when they were studying through the book of Romans. In other words, preachers that I know that have done verse-by-verse studies, I don't remember actually knowing of anybody going through it that I knew it when they were going through it. I know some that have, but I didn't know when they were doing that. And I found out when we didn't get to go to the meeting down in Mississippi last month, Joshua and Mom and Dad went down there, and I found out that pastor, Brother Rutledge, has been preaching through the book of Romans. He started sometime about the time I did. And he does it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When he starts a book like that, he just stays with it till he's done. And that's all right. That's everybody's got their different style, and they got to find out where they feel like God wants them to be and how to deal with that. But anyway, I found out that he's doing that. And then I found out another preacher that was there, Brother Chris Simpson, pastors in Lexington, North Carolina. No relation to Brother Ronnie. But Brother Chris Simpson preaching through the book of Romans. He graduated from Faith Institute, where Brother Sammy was at. And he's preaching through the book of Romans. And then the Sunday school teacher that there in Louisiana, where I was at this week, is teaching through the book of Romans. Isn't that amazing? That Sunday school teacher, he was a blessing. He's a song leader as well. Brother James Crumpton was his uncle. His mama was James Crumpton's sister. But I'll just give you a little, when he was a boy, he was out on visitation, him and his dad and his brother. They were in visitation. They were in a man's home. His dad was witnessing to the man. They had other children there, so the children were playing together. His brother found a pistol. Thought it was a toy. And went through his dad's leg and went in his brother's spine right between the shoulder blades. He's paralyzed from his arms down. He's got stainless steel crutches that he can walk with. He can't move his legs, so he has to, use the crutches entirely and just jump his legs. He's got braces that holds his legs together. But he determined, as a young boy, he determined that he was not going to be a welfare recipient. That he was going to work. He went to school, got an education. He's a school teacher, public school teacher. Teaches in the church there, preaches. Amen. Still goes on visitation. Leads the singing. Amen. I like that. I mean, zeal. Amen. Zeal to do something for God. But I was amazed that he's studying through the book of Romans. So there's a lot. Maybe God's doing something about the book of Romans to get being revived in these days. Amen. But we need it. Amen. We need to get some doctrine down pat. Amen. And really just find out where God wants us. That's what we need to do. Verse 12 of chapter number 5. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Now, these next verses are going off of that last phrase about Adam being a figure of him who is to come. Verse number 15, but not, so here's the, not just a comparison, but a contrast, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's finishing the reading. And I meant to have us do it like we do it, but I forgot it. So I hadn't been doing that this week down there, so y'all, I got to start all over again. No, I'm kidding. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to add the blessing to his word. Brother Philip, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Please do, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen, amen. All right. In this section that we're in, this whole chapter number 5, we have titled it, Salvation is Forever. We talked about salvation is free in chapter 3. Salvation is by faith in chapter number 4. And salvation is forever here in chapter number 5. Grace much more abounds. Amen. And so I don't know how you could believe that grace would be weaker than sin. That sin overpowers grace would be wrong. Amen. And so I'm glad you don't get saved and then lose it. One preacher said, I'm glad I'm saved by grace, not by grease. Some people slipping in and out. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Once you get put in, you're locked in. Amen. You're sealed in, right? Amen. And I'm glad that we can rejoice in that. But we dealt with that first half of chapter number 5. We broke the chapter down into two parts. And we talked about particularly that fact of salvation is forever. We observed that how God loved us. He talks about that particularly in verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. We saw how he loved us. Now we're looking in the latter part of this chapter, and we're seeing how God loosed us. He set us free from our sin. Amen. We're no longer in bondage to sin. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're not in the flesh. It doesn't mean that we can't fail, but it means we don't have to obey sin any longer. Amen. We have a free will. We have a choice in the matter as it comes out. So in our study of this section, this last section so far, we've been talking about grace is greater. That was my first message 2 weeks ago. I called it grace is greater. And that's what we're calling this one as well. This will be part 2. Grace is greater, part 2. Amen. So we've noticed that the text, excuse me, the text before us today, this whole section I read, is stated by many commentaries as being some of the most difficult in all the King James Bible. Some of the most difficult texts to parse and maybe to get a rightly divided understanding of it. Well, the whole section begins with the word wherefore. I guess you noticed that in verse number 12. Begins with wherefore, which obviously beckons us back to the previous verses, and I start back at verse number 8. We could go back even further, but we find in verse number 8 that we were sinners. Verse number 6 says we were ungodly, and yet we have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Since that has happened, that's what these rest verses are going on. Wherefore, since God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, justifies ungodly sinners, there must be a principle, there must be a way, a means that this is accomplished. And so he tells us the means how sin entered into the world and the means how salvation entered into the world. Amen. Sin entered into the world by one man. Salvation entered into the world by one man. And that's what he's going to be dealing with in the text that we're looking at. Amen. And so at verse number 10, you see Paul's talking about the fact that we were once enemies with God, but we've been reconciled by the death of his son. Amen. Much more, I like that phrase found here 5 times in chapter number 5, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. Amen. So we can rejoice in the fact that we have been reconciled, and we can rejoice in the fact that we have been justified by the Lord Jesus. Now, I started talking about all these much more statements. I pointed out that verse number 12 does not end in a period, but in a colon. I explained some of that. I don't think need to go into great detail about how that's two periods, one stacked on top of the other. But let me just say this. What a colon means is that that is a sentence that could stand alone, but it does not stand alone. It is a sentence that has more to go with it. So verse 12 ends with a colon, not a period, and verse 13 begins with a parenthesis. And so, or parenthesis one, and then it ends in verse number 17. And so we started talking about that part that's in that parenthesis. But when you notice that verse 12 actually connects to verse number 18. Let's read those together. I did that last time, and I believe it'll help you understand. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now verse 18, wherefore, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Amen. Amen. And so you see that these go together. He's talking about one man. He's talking about sin and death came by one man. He's talking about redemption and reconciliation came by one man. So he's talking about Adam, even though he's not named in these verses that I read to you. He is named in verse number 14. He's finally named. Adam and Moses are mentioned there, but he's dealing with that one man that, as I say, opened the door to willful sin. Christ opens the door to possible salvation. Amen. Amen. So we looked at those verses last time, as 2 weeks ago. We saw sin's presence, sin's penalty, and sin's power. The presence of sin in that Adam opened the door by willful sin. Sin's penalty in that all men then die because all have sinned. And then verse 13 tells us sin's power, verse 14 as well, how that there, that power is even over those that have not sinned like Adam did. Amen. Not necessarily sinned against law, sinned against light, but were born into this world and did sin nonetheless. They've died. Even babies die. Even Gentiles die without the law. Even Jews died before the law was written. That's what he's talking about in those texts. So in the final phrase of verse 14, that's leading us up to the verses I'm looking at today, he speaks about a connection, a comparison of Adam to Christ and the symbolism there. He says he's the figure who is the figure of him that was to come. By the way, that is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 45 through 49. If you want to read that some other time, I didn't include it in this study, but that's what he's talking about. The comparison of Adam to Christ. Adam's called the first Adam. Christ is called the last Adam in that text. And the idea there being that these men are heads of and a figure of a whole group of people is the idea there. Now look at verse number 15 and we'll go through this verse by verse. I don't have points today as far as like I did before, sin's presence, penalty, and power. But we're looking at these verses 15, 16, and 17. The Bible says in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, or the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. One thing I noticed is that Paul's talking about Adam many times, a number of times. He does not name Adam. He'll just say one man, one man, one man. But I'll tell you who he does name. He names Jesus Christ. Because if you forget the name Adam, you need to remember the name Jesus Christ. If you never learn about Adam, you need to learn about Jesus Christ. He's who's important, and that's the point that he's making. So the apostle here is advancing to speak about the parallels between Adam's loss and Christ's gain. He's showing us the similarities, but really in these verses, in this parentheses, he's showing us the discrepancies, the things that are difference, the contrasts that are there. He starts talking about the offense of Adam. You notice that first phrase, but not as the offense. So the offense of Adam includes not only the idea of sin, but the punishment for that sin. The offense is what he did wrong, but offenses produce punishment. And so when he's talking about the sin of Adam, he's also talking about death that was the judgment that passed upon that sin. Then when he talks about the Lord Jesus, he calls it a free gift. That free gift is not only the righteousness of Christ. Thank God for the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Adam did wrong, Christ did right. That's what he's showing us. But not only Adam did wrong and had to pay for it, and not only he had to pay for it, but we've been paying for it ever since. He's showing us the righteousness of Christ and the opportunity for salvation because of the righteousness of Christ. We'll say the reward for it. Amen. The reward that comes with the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, we see the failure of man and its opposite. The opposite is the gracious restoration by the God-man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at the phrase, verse 15 goes on, not only talking about the offense, so it's a free gift. But he says, for if through the offense of one, many be dead. That's saying, if on account of one man's sin, death passed upon many. That word, if, is not a question. He's not asking a question. He's not questioning the fact. He is affirming. Right? For example, we'd say it this way. I'd say, Brother Jonathan, if you're Troy Rickard's son, then I expect you to look a little bit like him. And you do. But that's not question, are you Troy Rickard's son? It's just saying, since you are. Right? We go down the line and talk about all these different things. And we'll see it all through this text. He's going to use the word if, but the word if is not in a question, but rather as the affirmative. He says, since this one thing is true, then this is true as well. Amen. And, excuse me. So he's not questioning the fact. Rather, he's saying something like this. Granting the fact that since through the offense of one, many have died. By the way, that many does not just mean a select few many. Means multitudes. Look how many have died since Adam's sin. That's what it's talking about. Look at how many have died. Multitudes have died since Adam opened the door to sin. Multitudes have died. Masses have passed through death's door because the result of Adam opening that door. I'll say this, Adam's sin was no small thing. It had enormous consequences. Still does, by the way. And don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that your sin won't have consequences. Or that your sin will be a little thing and you can get by with it and it won't hurt anybody. You know, you hear that, not hurt anybody but myself. Well, that's not true. It's never been true. So Adam's sin was no small thing, neither is any other sin. Adam's sin had and still has enormous consequences. Now look at this phrase. It's followed by this phrase. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Amen. What that tells us, again, that word many, not talking about a select group of people or select few, just like the death wasn't a select few. He said, look how many can be saved by the grace of God. The multitudes and the masses that can be saved since Jesus opened that door. What he's saying is this, Adam's sin had enormous consequences. And Christ's death on the cross had even more enormous rewards. Amen. He's bragging on our Lord. He's not bragging on Adam. And he's not boasting of Adam, but he's boasting of the Lord and the forgiveness that comes through his opening of the door of salvation. Amen. If Adam's sin had enormous consequences, then the righteousness of Christ must have much more enormous consequences. If multitudes have died on account of Adam opening the door of sin, how many multitudes can live eternally? Because Christ opened the door to salvation. Amen. And I like the way, and Paul's consistent through here, sometimes he used the word many, and sometimes he used the word all. When he uses the word many for death, he'll use the word many for salvation. When he uses the word all for death, he uses the word all for salvation. He's consistent in what he's saying, in that he's just saying, look at how many have died because of Adam, and look at how many can be saved because of Christ. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to deviate from my notes just a minute, but we need to get a view again of the fact that people can be saved. We get the mentality almost like, well, they're headed down the wrong road, there ain't no hope for them. Hey, they can't never change. Did you change? Amen. When I say did you, I'm not talking about pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about did God do something for you? If God did something for you, he can do it for them. Amen. I believe that. I believe drunks can be saved. Hey, I believe prostitutes can be saved. I believe druggies can be saved. Amen. I even believe some sodomites can be saved. Amen. Such were some of you. I'm just simply saying there's power in the blood of Jesus. And we need to get back to confidence in the power of the blood of Jesus. We're almost afraid. I won't hand him a track. He's got tattoos. Ain't no hope for him. Forget that. There's hope for him in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a great comparison here. There's also a great contrast. God's grace is greater than man's sin. Amen. I want to say that again because that is absolutely right. God's grace is greater than man's sin. Amen. Where sin abounded, he says that in verse 20. We know it very well, but thank God. Not just where sin abounded, but moreover, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God's grace is greater. Amen. If disobedience is powerful, then obedience must also be powerful. If unrighteousness results in disaster, then righteousness must result in amazing victories. Amen. Amen. If the results of sin are distressing, then the results of salvation ought to be delightful. Amen. Both of these, Adam and Christ, sin and death and salvation and life, these are the results of the willful actions of one man. Adam willingly went into death and sin. Christ willingly went into death for our sins. Amen. Both of them results of the willful actions of man. Amen. Christ and his results are so much greater than Adam's results. Amen. You see, Adam, I said, willingly went into death and sin. I said sin and death. And Adam was overcome by death. But Christ, since he had no sin, willingly went into death for our sin. Since he had no sins of his own, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Amen. He's victorious, we say, over death, hell, and the grave. And we can rejoice in that. So these verses here are not spoken in an argument for or against the statement of verse number 12 and verse number 18. They're simply repeating an affirmative to saying that these things are true. Amen. It's truthful. They're magnifying the power and the glory of God and Christ in this. Look at verse number 16. He says, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Again, we see another contrast indicating that Christ's gift offers much more than Adam's offense cost. Amen. It's noted that Adam's sin was singular. One. One man, one sin. Amen. You don't believe that's the only sin Adam ever sinned. Matter of fact, we know that wasn't the first sin. Satan sinned when he rebelled against God. Eve sinned when she took of the fruit. But Adam's sin was different than those sins. Adam was the progenitor of the human race. Adam was the one that heard the command of God. Adam's the one held responsible. He's the head over Eve. Amen. Therefore, the head over humanity at that time. Amen. And so that one sin is one that he's pointing back to. Not that there was no other, but just one sin is enough to cause us to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever. People say, "Preacher, but I've not been so bad." You don't have to be so bad. It's not how bad are you. I believe there's degrees of punishment in hell. I believe you can find it in the Bible. He says the judgment is going to be more tolerable for some than others. If it's more tolerable, then there must be different degrees. Amen. Adam's sin was singular. One sin. But here, sins since that time have been innumerable. If one sin caused death to come upon all men, what would numerous sins cost? What would innumerable sins cost? And yet he's telling us that Christ's blood was adequate for them all. Amen. He didn't just forgive Adam for that one sin. By the way, when you come to God, I believe probably at all times in some way, sometimes God deals with one particular sin in your life. The old timers used to believe that was the Pharaoh on the throne, the master that had you in bondage, whatever it was, the woman at the well, he talked about her husbands. He didn't ask Nicodemus about his marriage status. Matter of fact, I don't know how many others he ever asked that question. But the woman at the well, he did, because that was her issue. Amen. And you go on different ones. The rich young ruler, I don't know how many people Christ talked to him about their money, but that boy he did because that was his issue. But the sin, that one sin is not all that he forgives when a person gets saved. They are forgiven for all their iniquities. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. And so one sin cost humanity, death. But Christ's blood overcame innumerable sins. That's what he's talking about. He's showing us how great is this offering of the Lord. That last phrase of verse 16, but the free gift is of many offenses. Oh, how many were our sins. We could never name them all. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you got to go through and name all your sins before you can ever get saved. You can't even remember all your sins. I'll guarantee you there's numerous things you've done that you forgot about. Matter of fact, I've had God bring things to my memory. Amen. That I hadn't thought about in years, and God would remind me of something there. And I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. You remind me that. I don't want to go back and do that. And by the way, I believe sometimes the devil reminds us because he tries to beat us up with it all. Amen. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to overcome all of that. Amen. Christ's blood is adequate to pay for all sins. God's grace is greater than all our sins. Amen. We sang that song a couple of weeks ago. Grace that is greater than all our sins. I love that. I love to hear Brother Roloff sing that. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you can be today. Amen. I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cover all that mountain of sin. Amen. Amen. Adam's sin passed judgment and condemnation upon all men. Likewise, or contrarywise, Christ's payment passes justification and grace as possible to all men. Adam's one sin brought death unto himself and opened the door of death and sin to all his descendants. Christ's obedient sacrificial death brought justification from all sins to all those who will obey the gospel and believe upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Sinners come to church and they feel condemned. By the way, we're not trying to condemn you. And why would we? Because we've been in the same boat. We want you to know there's hope. We want you to know there's help. But we're not condemning. The reason you feel condemned is because you are. Condemned already. But the whole thing about what we're wanting you to know is that Jesus' blood is available. Salvation is available to whosoever will. And you say, well, I'm a sinner. What does God want me to do? Here's what he wants you to do. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. What does God want for sinners to do? He wants them to repent of their sin. That's what he wants them to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Christ's offer of himself to God gives an offer to the world that whosoever will may come. Now the focus of this verse number 16, is the magnificent power of the grace of God. Amen. He's showing us the power of the grace of God to forgive numerous, even multitudes of sin. Amen. I said even if we were only guilty of one, be enough to keep us out of heaven. But we've been guilty of so many. And to whom much is forgiven, they're going to love much, he said. Amen. We're going to love much. We ought to love him for that. So we can clearly see by observing verse 15 makes a reference to the offense, singularly marked. Two different times in verse 15, by the way, mentions the offense. That's one offense. Then look at verse number 16's reference to the many offenses of the guilty. You see that? Verse 16? That latter phrase, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The point is pronouncing the majesty of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ that saves us, by the way, that saves us from more than just the evil that Adam did. Amen. Can you imagine? Listen, if you had Adam's sin laid on your charge, and then you had Cain's sin laid on top of that, then you had Cain's son's sin laid on top of that, and his son's sin laid until you get your daddy, your grandpa, your great grandpa, you'd have a pile of sin laid on your account. What are we going to do with all that? Well, he says Jesus' blood is enough to wash it all away. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Many offenses. He's washed it away. Look at verse number 17. We'll be done. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. So he says death reigned. How did death reign? Because of one offense of one man, instigated by one man. Again, this word if is not a question, it's affirming. Death reigned over every person who ever lived. Amen. Every person who ever lived has been subject to death. That's the idea of reigning. Subjects are under their authority. And every person that's ever lived has been under the authority of death. Been under, or we'd say in bondage to death. Do you see how damaging Adam's sin was to this world? That's why sin is nothing to trifle with, nothing to joke about. It's a fool that makes a mock at sin. Amen. It was damaging. Death was enthroned over the whole world because of Adam's sin. But contrast that. If you see the magnitude of Adam's sin, then look at the majesty of Christ's offer of salvation. Amen. Look at how much more enthroned and how much more glorious is the reign of salvation unto life. The reign of grace unto life. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the sacrificial death, by the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see the abundance of grace. That phrase, you ought to underline that. The abundance of grace. You know what that means? God's got more than enough. Amen. More than enough. I remember when I was a boy, one of my mom's older sisters married a man. His name is Lloyd. Lloyd Church. Lloyd didn't believe in banks. Lloyd's dad didn't believe in banks. They come up during the Depression and they saw how banks went under and they wouldn't put money. They kept cash money on them. Lloyd went to buy a brand new Ford pickup truck, and when they said, how are you going to finance it? He said, through my back pocket. Paid cash for it. That's how he did it. But I remember when I was a boy, and one of his daughters, Lisa, the youngest daughter, in school, they sell candy bars for a dollar. You remember them? They'd sell them to raise money. They was raising candy bars for a dollar. She wanted a dollar. And Aunt Lee said, go to your daddy. Get a dollar from your daddy for a candy bar. Uncle Lord opened his billfold. Matter of fact, he didn't open it. It was so, he kept it in his bib over. It was so full that he couldn't close it. When he opened that thing up, she wanted a dollar. And he went to looking in there, and I don't know how much there was in there, but he didn't have a dollar. He pulled out what he thought was a dollar, and it was a $100 bill. He said, there, take that. Will that do it? Well, that didn't just do it. That did way more than needed to be done. Well, what this verse is saying here, that when God chose his wallet opened on Calvary, there was more than enough grace there to pay for our sins, no matter how big they looked, no matter how bad they looked, no matter how devastating they were, no matter how much bondage we were in. God had grace, but not just grace. He had an abundance of grace. God's got more than enough to take care of your sin and mine. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying. More than enough grace. Amen. He not only talks about the abundance of grace, but he says that believers can not only live, but they can reign in life. You see that? Last phrase there. It shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So death reigned, but now we're not under the bondage. We're on top of it. Matter of fact, death is no longer our dictator. Death, in a sense, is no longer our enemy. Because as a child of God, what's death going to do to us? Just send us on up to glory. Amen. Amen. That's right. What's death going to do to us? Just going to release us from this world of sin. Release us from this body of bondage. Amen. Death's just going to give us a new body. I mean, I know death's not doing it, but you understand we're going to get a new body when this life is over. Amen. And it's just going to release us to a better world. So now we're not under fear of death. We're reigning in life. Amen. By Christ Jesus. Amen. So, we're not under bondage to death. I believe we're not under bondage to sin. Matter of fact, he makes that statement. Look at it. Not only talks about an abundance of grace, but he also talks about a gift of righteousness. Christ's righteousness was not only imputed to us. I believe Christ's righteousness gives us the ability to say no to sin, where once we had not that ability. Amen. He gives us power over sin. Now, listen, not that we still don't have a choice to sin. We could sin by choice, but we have a choice not to. Where before we didn't, we were under bondage to those things. We've been set free from the bondage of sin and of death. Now, this is not just speaking about deliverance from death. It's talking about the power of life. Listen, my salvation is not just good the day I die. Amen. Salvation's good the day you get saved. Amen. There's living that doesn't begin when you die. Listen, your body does not live when it dies. Your body, it's a life before birth, but we'll say begins at birth, right? Life begins at birth. Well, when you get to second birth, you've got that life that is eternal life. You don't have to wait to get eternal life. You have eternal life because you've been born into it. Amen. You've been born again by the grace of God. Amen. Now, this talking about living in and reigning in life. It's not just life beyond the grave, although we got that, thank God. But I believe it's talking about victorious life here on earth. God's people are called kings and priests. Amen. Through Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation, believers are made kings and priests. I've got two places here in Revelation chapter number 1 verses 5 and 6, and you don't have to turn, I'll read them to you. Revelation 1 verse 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He said he's made us kings and priests unto our God. Revelation chapter number 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of thy kindred, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Not just reigning in heaven, reigning on earth. So we're kings and priests. By the way, he didn't say you will make us kings and priests. He says you have. Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. So what's that talking about? Well, he's talking about priests means we've got a relationship with God. Kings mean we've got authority. Amen. We've got a rule of our own. So here's the contrast that I want you to see. Adam was a failure. But Christ is a success. As far as righteousness is concerned, Adam failed. And every descendant of Adam has also fallen. We have failed to live up to the righteousness that God requires. But Jesus Christ was victorious in righteousness. He did always those things which pleased the Father. Amen. There was no fault found in him by Pilate or even by the scribes and Pharisees that tried to imply fault, and neither by God himself. No fault in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was victorious. And through him, all those that trust in him can be victorious as well. What we see here is the abundance of grace. Actually, the idea here is a superabundance, an overflowing abundance. Amen. It's more than enough. It goes beyond. It goes above and beyond. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Here's how Jesus described it. John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Not just life, but reigning in life. That's how Christ wants us to live. Amen. Now, I'm almost done. Hang with me just a minute. Believers not only escape death, but we receive life. Amen. We not only escape death, but we receive life. And not only life, but abundant life, glorious life, reigning life, victorious life we receive through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievers are slaves to sin and death, but believers are overcomers. Amen. Amen. We've been exalted to reign in life as kings and priests unto our God. Amen. Now, notice, I'm finishing verse 17. This will complete this parenthesis. But look at this. I want you to notice there's one word I want you to notice. I'm going to read the whole verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which, what's the next word? Receive. Huh. So not everybody gets this. But those that receive Christ get this. Those, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. They which receive. So my question is, have you received Christ? I used the illustration, didn't think it would fit here, but it does. I used the illustration of Jonathan looking like his dad. And I wasn't fussing at you for that. You can't help it. But we all have likenesses to Adam. It's our father. We all have those likenesses. That's the point I'm making. We have that trait, that problem that we have followed our father Adam. But we can receive a free gift. We can receive forgiveness. We can receive overcoming power. We can receive the grace of God. Amen. Now, in conclusion, let me bring out 3 points I believe are indicated in these verses. Number one, God's grace is greater than man's sin. That's point number one. Point number two, grace reaches further and does more than sin could ever do. Amen. Amen. And number three, grace lifts us not just up to the level of Adam before he sinned, but even above that on a higher plane. Amen. Because now we've been justified. We've received this, he calls it abundance of grace and righteousness. Amen. Now, there is no doubt that in the temptation that caused Adam to sin, Satan meant it for evil. But God knows how to bring beauty out of ashes. Amen. God knows how to bring it out for good. You remember the situation there? That phrase brings us to remember what Joseph said about his brethren. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. God made a blessing out of what Adam and Satan made a mess. So while they come with a song this morning, let's stand to our feet. I want to ask you a question. Have you made a mess out of your life? God will offer you a blessing. God can make a blessing out of what you've made a mess. Amen. I believe that. You didn't have any choice about being subjected to sin and death. That just comes by being born into this world. Born in the human family. You didn't have a choice of that. But you do have a choice of receiving the abundance of grace. You do have a choice of calling on God for salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this good text, Romans chapter number 5, of the abundance of grace and the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that somebody today would lay claim to that. That somebody today would lay hold to that. that they might receive the abundance of grace. That they might receive the gift of life, not just life, but more abundant life. Reign in life. Life of grace. Lord, help us that are saved to recognize what a wonderful Savior we have. What an amazing gift we've received. What glory we ought to be given unto our God for His great gift, the unspeakable gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Work in this invitation according to thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we sing. If the Lord spoke to you, would you come? If you need to pray, come call on the Lord while we sing.